All right, we are going to pretend this morning that you want to learn to become a chemist, okay? So, let's pretend that you want to be a chemist. Are you going to go to the mayor of St. Paul and say, I want to be a chemist. Can you help me?
No.
No, why not? Because our mayor probably doesn't know that stuff, right? He's got to focus on plowing our streets and things like that. But if you wanted to become a chemist, you would go to like a university or a college and find a chemistry professor, right?
Yeah.
And why would we do that? Let's just say this is our chemistry professor. It's because she has authority to teach it, correct? All right, let's make another scenario. Let's pretend you wake up in the morning and you look out, your car's been parked out on the street, and you see it, the wheels are missing, it's up on blocks, the window's smashed up, okay? Things do not look good. Are you going to go to your grandma and say, Grandma, I want justice. Someone wrecked my car. Can you do something about it? And she might say, well, I'm sorry that happened, but what can I do? Right? No, we would go to police officer. And hopefully they would catch the person and they would go before a judge and then they would do something about it, right? We would want justice to happen, but we would go to the police and the court system because they have authority to take care of that stuff, right? All right, last one. Let's say there's something wrong with your body. Things are not going well for you, okay? Are you going to go to your UPS driver and say, hey, I got this really bad thing going on. I need your help. They would say, I can't help you. I don't know what's going on in your body, and I need to keep delivering packages. Go see a doctor, right? Why would you go see a doctor if something's wrong with your body? Because they have authority and the knowledge to say, hey, this is what you can do. This is how I can help. They have the authority to speak into our bodies, okay? So we're going to look at a story this morning in Luke chapter 4 about someone, it's Jesus, having authority, okay? So as you turn to Luke chapter 4, I just want to recap where we've been the last few weeks because Luke is setting this all up. We read about Jesus being baptized, and remember the voice from heaven came and said, this is my son. Okay, so Jesus is the Son of God, and he had to go into the wilderness and be tested. Are you really the Son of God? The devil tempted him to sin against his Father, and Jesus passed the test, proving himself to be God's true Son. And then last week, we read about Jesus going back to his hometown, and his hometown people rejecting him because he wouldn't perform miracles for them. They wanted proof. Are you really the Son of God? Are you really the Messiah? Show us. And Jesus wouldn't do that. And now this morning, Jesus is preaching in a different town. So let's start out in verse 31. We're just going to read a couple verses here and then stop. But it says, and Jesus went down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and he was teaching them on the Sabbath. And they were astonished at his teaching, for his word possessed authority. Okay, right away we're reading this word authority. Jesus, the setting is in Capernaum. So this is a little fishing village at the Sea of Galilee. Big fishing industry here. Population, I looked it up, it's about 1,500 at this time. So it's not real big. And Jesus spends a lot of time in this town. And this is the second story now that we've read of Jesus teaching in a synagogue. So this is their church, and he is teaching with authority. Have you guys ever been in a classroom or in a setting where you're listening to a speaker and you just don't have any idea what they're saying? Like it's so boring, or they just don't really seem to know what they're talking about or whatever. And then contrast that with sitting in a classroom where someone's really speaking with knowledge and passion about what they're teaching on. And you say, wow, they really have the authority to teach. And it really feels like they know what they're doing. And that's the people here. They're saying, well, this isn't just another, you know, scribe or teacher referencing other scribes or teachers. This man, Jesus, is really teaching the word of God with authority. He knows what he's talking about, and they're getting excited about it. Okay? Louder, Rowan. Louder! You were supposed to do it really loud. There we go. I was trying to set it up for the next section that we're going to read here. So did everyone find Rowan's yelling distracting? Okay. You did a good job, Rowan. Okay. Let's read what happens next. So remember, Jesus is teaching in a synagogue. Everyone's quiet. They're listening to the teaching, right? And what happens next? And in the synagogue, there was a man who had the spirit of an unclean demon, and he cried out with a loud voice, "Ha! What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Okay, my example fell a little bit short with Rowan. I really wanted us to all turn our heads and say, what was that, right? Because that's the same thing that would have happened in the synagogue here, except probably even way more obnoxious, way more distracting. It wasn't just a kid yelling out. It was a man with an unclean demon. Where was he? In church. Okay? So I want us to think about this. Just because we're all gathered in this building doesn't mean that we're not going to face opposition, right? This man was interrupting, causing distraction, and that's what Satan likes to do in our lives. So let's just pause from the scripture here a second and think about this. We think everything's just nice and dandy, don't we? And Satan likes to distract us from what our focus should be on. And if we really stop and think about it, how many of the things in our life does Satan use to just kind of gently tweak us off, keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus? That's how he works. But here it's a little more obvious in this synagogue. Jesus is teaching with authority. People are connecting with it. And all of a sudden this demon screams out through this man and distracts and stops everything. And what does he say? "Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Satan, his demons, they all know that their days are limited. The spiritual world knows a lot more than what we can see, don't they? And they know that their days are limited, and Jesus will one day take care of them once and for all. And this demon is anticipating that already. And how does Jesus respond to this? Verse 35, Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And when the demon had thrown him down in their midst, he came out of him, having done him no harm. And they were all amazed and said to one another, "What is this word? For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out." And reports about him went out into every place in the surrounding region. Why would Jesus tell the demon to be silent? But Jesus tells him to be silent, but the demon was saying, "I know who you are, you're the Holy One of God." And isn't that what Jesus wants people to know? And we're going to circle back and come to this again later. But just looking at this, we see Jesus speaks one word. One sentence, he speaks with authority, and the demon comes out. And it throws this man to the ground, but it doesn't harm him. And again, I want us to think hard about this, church. There is nothing about Satan or demons that is nice. They want to do everything they can to distract and deceive and destroy us. Okay? So even some of those things in our lives where we say, it's probably okay. Let's think hard about that. Let's be really careful. Because Satan, all he's got to do is just tweak a little bit. He might even mix a little truth in with it. And next thing you know, we are being distracted and deceived and on our way to destruction. But Jesus doesn't allow it. Jesus speaks into this man's life. And you guys have maybe seen the movies or the TV shows or read in books, whatever. Exorcisms are this long, drawn-out process, just a mess, whatever. But here we see Jesus doing it with authority, because he has authority and he doesn't need to make it a long, drawn out process with a lot of drama. He speaks and the demon comes out. He has authority. And this is my big main point. First main point, Jesus has authority over the spiritual world. So all the things around us that we're not even aware of many times, Jesus has authority over them. All the things around us that are trying to deceive us and destroy us and distract us, Jesus has authority over those things. And we should be asking Jesus to speak into our lives and protect us from the spiritual things that want to destroy us. Because he has authority over the spiritual world. Let's keep reading. What happens next? Because his authority doesn't just stop at the spiritual. Verse 38. And Jesus arose and left the synagogue and entered Simon's house. Now Simon's mother-in-law was ill with a high fever, and they appealed to him on her behalf. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her, and immediately she rose and began to serve them. So it's likely that Jesus stayed at Simon's house when he was in Capernaum. They were likely friends by this time. And Peter's mother-in-law has a high fever. Now remember who's writing this book. It's written by Luke, and Luke is a doctor. Okay? So Luke knows what a high fever is. It's not just a little temperature. She is out, right? You guys have all had high fever before, and you are out. You don't want to do anything probably other than sleep and moan, right? That's a high fever. And they're appealing to Jesus and saying, Jesus, Simon's mother-in-law has this high fever. She's not doing well. Things are looking pretty bad. Would you come and see her? And Jesus comes and heals her. He rebukes the fever. And again, I think there's a distinction here. There's no mention of demons here. So not every time someone is struggling with a sickness is it related to demons. But Jesus is rebuking something that isn't right. There was no high fevers before sin got brought into the world. And Jesus is making things new. And I just love this church. What does she do as soon as the fever has left? I know when a fever leaves me, I still feel out of it for another day or two, don't I? You guys too? You just kind of want to lay there and just kind of recover. That doesn't happen here. Not when Jesus rebukes a fever and it leaves. She immediately gets up and begins to serve them. You guys want sandwiches, right? Like, typical mom. Yeah. She gets up and begins to serve. And again, I don't want to stretch this at all, but this healing is instantaneous and complete. And she is able to do what God wants her to do, serve others. Immediately, with this breath of new life, she gets up and begins doing exactly what God designed her to do. Serve. And unlike many of the healing things that we might see advertised nowadays, you know, they're very public. Jesus is doing this healing in a quiet and intimate setting. He's not caring about getting all the publicity and attention. He's serving this woman in a quiet and intimate setting. He doesn't care about healing with a big crowd. But the word gets out. Okay? Before we get to the next verse, I just want to emphasize again, this is my main point number two. Jesus has authority over the physical world. So all the physical issues that we deal with, sicknesses and depression and all that stuff in our physical world, Jesus has authority over those things too. So we see he's got authority over the spiritual, he's got authority over the physical. He's got a lot of authority, doesn't he? So word gets out. Let's read what happens next. Verse 40. Now when the sun was setting, all those who had any who were sick with various diseases brought them to Jesus, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And demons also came out of many, crying, "You are the Son of God!" But he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak because they knew that he was the Christ. So remember the day we started reading, it's the Sabbath day. He was teaching in the synagogue earlier. Okay? Now on the Sabbath, especially the Jews at this time, they would want to honor the Sabbath, but a lot of them would take it to extremes where they could only travel a certain distance or do certain things on the Sabbath. They wanted to honor the Lord, but the Pharisees were, you know, really hammering down these extreme laws. So I think that's why it's when dark happens here, it's the end of the day. So now they feel safe. The Sabbath is over. We just heard Peter's mother-in-law got healed. Let's take our friend that's sick. Let's take our family member that's sick. Let's go see Jesus. So Sabbath is over. People are feeling safe to come and see Jesus. And he heals various diseases, touching them and praying for them. And again, just like we had in prayer this morning, it takes time, right, to listen to each individual request and pray. And Jesus doesn't want to just get it done and get it over with and get out of there. He takes the time all night long for every individual person to lay his hands on them and pray for them and heal them. Jesus cares about people. So if you are struggling thinking Jesus doesn't care about you or the things that are going on in your life, you are wrong. He went a night without sleep here. All night long, he touched them and prayed for them. And he casts out demons. And again, I think there's this important distinction from diseases, because not all diseases are related to demons, but some are. And Jesus is taking care of all of it. And he doesn't allow the demons to speak. So again, let's pause here and talk about this. Doesn't Jesus want people to know who he is and put their faith in him? I would say, yes, he does. But he doesn't want that testimony to come from demons. Because demons are out to do what? Deceive and destroy, right? And oftentimes they will use a little bit of truth to do that. And Jesus doesn't want the testimony to come from demons. He wants to reveal himself as Messiah, as Christ, on his own terms and in his own time. Demons are not the sort of witness Jesus wants, even if the testimony is true. Verse 42. And when it was day, so again, Jesus is doing this all night long, he departed and went into a desolate place. And the people sought him and came to him and would have kept him from leaving them. But he said to them, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose. And he was preaching in the synagogues of Judea. No doubt, with a sleepless night, caring for people all night long, he's tired in the morning, isn't he? And he goes to a desolate place. He needs to recharge. And church, I am not good at this. I'm imagining many of you are not as well. But when we need to recharge, do we go to a desolate place and reach out to the Lord? That's what Jesus does. And somehow he finds his strength in doing that. And the people of Capernaum seek him out and they say, we want you to stay here. And he says to them, no, I was sent for a purpose. Again, I think this goes all the way back to his childhood when we saw him sitting in the temple, studying the scriptures, submitting to his parents, submitting to the word of God. He's learning what his mission is all about through God's word. And he knows he was sent for a purpose, to preach the good news of the kingdom of God. He can't stay in one place. He has to keep going around and doing that. And it says in the Greek, he was preaching. It's a continual thing. It's not just for a little time. He continually did it. He was preaching to all the other towns. So, I want to contrast what we read last week with Jesus in Nazareth versus what we're reading today, Jesus in Capernaum. So I made this little chart up here, Nazareth and Capernaum. And the people that we read about in Nazareth, they had unbelief, right? Jesus called them out on that. They didn't believe Jesus was who he said he was or what he came to do. They wanted proof. They wanted miracles. They wanted him to do tricks for them. But the people of Capernaum received him in belief. And because of that, he was able to do miracles. The people of Nazareth rejected Jesus. Remember at the end of the story, they were ready to go kill him, push him off a cliff? The people of Capernaum received Jesus. They welcomed him in and invited him into their homes. The people of Nazareth had pride and entitlement. You're our hometown guy. Do stuff for us. We deserve it. We've seen you, grow up here. Do things for us. And Jesus wouldn't do it. But in Capernaum, we see people receiving him in humility and in faith. Only in Christ are we made free. Only filled by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, can we experience freedom. The man in the synagogue with the unclean spirit, he had a spirit, didn't he? But he was not free. And yet when Jesus rescues him, when Jesus gives his Holy Spirit to someone, we can experience true freedom. For both people in Nazareth and Capernaum, I thought about this week. They can't make Jesus into who they want him to be. Both of them are guilty of this. So, in Nazareth, they wanted him to do miracles. Prove yourself. Do what we want you to do. And Jesus says, no. I am who I am, and I will do what I was sent to do. And the people of Capernaum, even though they did receive him in faith, they still wanted to keep Jesus for themselves. That's what it says in verse 42. They would have kept him from leaving them. And I think that's an important reminder for us as well. Even if we receive Jesus in faith, are we like the people of Capernaum and we want to keep Jesus to ourselves? Or we want to keep Jesus to do what we want him to do rather than allowing Jesus to do what he was sent to do? For us who are in Christ, do we want to do what we want to do? Or do we want to do what Jesus wants us to do? Jesus' mission was to preach the good news of the kingdom of God. That's what he said. So that's my main point number three. Jesus is the authority over the word of God and the kingdom of God. He is, and he has it. And the people in Capernaum experienced miracles, didn't they? We read about a couple of them. A man, demon cast out of him. A woman with a high fever healed, immediately began serving. Many others healed of diseases or demon possession. They experienced many miracles. But the miracles wasn't the reason Jesus came. The miracles simply testified to Jesus' authority as Messiah. He has come to preach the good news of the kingdom of God. And if a certain people needs a miracle to understand that, he will do it. So I want to go back to our picture of a doctor here. Remember, we talked about if there was something going wrong in our bodies, we would most likely go to the doctor, right? Because the doctor has the authority to teach on health and to keep us well and to maybe do surgery and fix whatever's going on. And we would listen to the doctor because of their authority. And what we read here this morning, Jesus proved his authority over the spiritual world, over the physical world, authority over God's kingdom. And he still has all of that authority even today. So whatever we're dealing with, maybe it is spiritual oppression. Maybe it is physical things going on in our body. Maybe it is questioning, does Jesus really have authority over the kingdom? Because it looks like evil's winning out here. And I would say based on the scriptures, yes, he does have authority over all those things. And we have to remind ourselves of that often. Because too often, We think we have authority over some of that stuff, don't we? And it doesn't work. Mike prayed about that earlier. I got this one, God. And we know time and time again, whether it's addiction or sin or whatever, we don't have it, do we? We don't have authority to even change ourselves. But Jesus does. And I think if we go to him, even if we don't see immediate healing, we keep going to him and we keep going to him and we keep going to him and we bother him and say, Jesus, I want to see your authority over this in my life. I'm going to keep surrendering it to you until I see victory. As we keep going through the Gospels, not all of the healings took place like that. Sometimes there is this little process, and I think Jesus does that to show sometimes it's going to be a process. But you keep coming to me, and you keep asking me to heal you, because I have authority over your life. And one last thing I want to say before we close in prayer, and I want us to think really hard about this, because I've been thinking really hard about this the last few days. Often we want to see miracles in our life, don't we? We want to see the Lord just swoop in and do this supernatural thing and blow us out of the water. Wow! But you know what, church? As I've been thinking about this, the only miracle we truly need is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it's happened already. That miracle has already happened in each of our lives, and we have already been invited into that resurrection. We've already been invited into the new life that resurrection brings. So even if I have cancer for the rest of my life, even if I am tempted to go to this addiction for the rest of my life, a miracle has happened, and all I need to do is put my faith and trust and joy in that. And I keep going to Jesus, and I keep saying, thank you, Lord, for what you've done, for who you are, and what you continue to do, and call me to, and give me. It doesn't matter what we're dealing with on the outside. Inside, we've already had that miracle. We just need to surrender to it. Amen? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for who you are. Not who people tried to make you to be. We thank you for who you are. And Lord, we thank you for what you came to do. You brought the good news of the kingdom of God. And you were faithful in bringing that to all people. And Lord, I pray that we would keep our eyes fixed on your kingdom. Not the kingdoms of the world around us that entice us to bow down to them or follow them or get comfortable in them. I pray that we would keep our eyes fixed on your kingdom. And that we would be faithful servants serving that kingdom. That we would speak that good news that we know to others who need it. And Lord, we know that it's okay to come and ask for miracles in our lives. But we are okay with the one miracle that you have provided for all who put their faith and trust in you. And that's your resurrection. And Lord, I pray that we would believe it and live it out. In your name we pray. Amen.